All right. Thank you for being again for being here this morning. We're going to look a little bit for a few minutes at our theme, and it's very straightforward this year. Our theme is desiring growth. Desiring growth. And really, it's just about several things. It's about progressing in our Christian life. You know, early on as a new Christian, when I was a new believer going to church, our pastor used to say it, you're either going forward or you're going backward, you're not sitting still in your Christian faith. And I got a hold of that, and I didn't want to go backwards, and so I go forward. It's about growing in our relationship with God. By the way, every relationship should grow. As the years go on in all of your relationships, the love and the commitment should become deeper, and that should be true in our relationship with God. It's about serving Him more effectively. We can't serve God if we don't have a relationship with Him. If we're not growing in our faith, for those of us that have been around here for a while, if I'm a Sunday school teacher and I'm not growing in my faith, I have nothing to give to those who are in my Sunday school class. It's about becoming better in all of our relationships. I believe it was Jonathan Edwards that said many years ago that if you're a Christian, if your family doesn't recognize it, he even said, even if your dogs and cats don't recognize that you're a better person, something's wrong. It's about fulfilling all of our responsibilities in a more spiritually successful way. And to be real honest with you, it's just about living a more Christ-honoring life. That's the goal. The goal should have been for every Christian, the moment they receive Christ, that they start to grow in their faith and become more of what God wants them to be and more of what the Bible will mold them to be as they go forward. If that's something that God has as a goal for us, then why does that not happen more regularly? Sometimes we look at someone who's a new convert and they receive Christ and they start to grow and it's like, wow, isn't that a miracle? No, it ought to be normal. It ought to be normal. That's what I want us to see. And I want us to see as we get started on this throughout this year, the key ingredient when it comes to growth. A lot of times we don't grow because we just don't want to. I don't listen to it like I used to, but occasionally I used to listen to the radio, and I would listen to some sports talks when I came in. And I remember one time they were interviewing a guy, and Tony Gonzalez. How many ever heard of him? Tony Gonzalez was, he played for probably 15, 16 years. He was a tight end, probably one of the best of all time. And they were talking to him about his career, and the announcer asked him this question, because he was talking about how he was in good shape and the reason he played so long is because he worked out and he took care of himself. He took it seriously. And the announcer said, what percentage of the players do you think really take being a football player seriously and really work hard at it? And he said, I would say about 30%. Now think about that. These guys get paid millions of dollars to do one thing. And most of them are just getting by on their talent. He said only 30%. Really take it seriously enough to where they live their life in a certain way that won't hinder the way they play. That's kind of shocking. But yet, to be real honest with you, in a Christian sense, we would almost take that. 30% of Christians who take their faith seriously enough to actually have it make a difference in their lives. We'll look at three texts briefly today. We won't spend a lot of time. I want to make a few thoughts to just kind of get this thing about growing in our minds. But as we look at these texts, they have some overlapping themes. One of the themes is it talks about babes. In other words, when you got saved, spiritually speaking, no matter whether you were 5 or 6 and you've been coming to church your whole life and you got saved back then, or you're 26 or 36 or 46 and you got saved. The moment you got saved, you became a babe in Christ. You were a new Christian. That is the starting point. By the way, it shouldn't be the ending point. All of these talk about growth. In other words, from the time you're a babe, you start heading somewhere. You start progressing forward. By the way, that's talking about maturity, and we expect that in our children when we have children. We want them not to just stay as they are. We want them to grow, and we want them to mature physically? Well, we're supposed to mature spiritually. They all talk about Scripture, because Scripture is the facilitator of growth. It is what God uses in our lives to help us to go from where we're at when we get saved to where He wants us to be, or on that path to getting to where He wants us to be. It's the resource God uses to help us to be healthy and spiritually mature. And then the fact of the matter is, they all are alluding to choice. Choice. Who you are as a Christian is because of who you have chosen to be as a Christian. You can look, I don't care, you can have a scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 100, I don't care. And you can kind of gauge where you are at on that scale. And wherever you are at on that scale, you are there because you have chosen to be there. You can make excuses. You can blame people. But the fact of the matter is, you are as spiritual a Christian as you choose to be. You are as close to God this morning as you have chosen to be. It's about choice. As we look briefly at these scriptures, we're going to see different levels of growth along that path. And so let's get into it this morning. Let's look at 1 Peter, and I want you to see the first thing. I got four key truths I want to show you briefly from the passages of Scripture, and then we'll kind of tie it together and make it practical, and you'll be heading to lunch. Four key truths. First one in 1 Peter, I want you to see this, the command to grow. The command to grow. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." We can't get, and I can pull out a lot of different other scriptures, but you just can't get past it. God has commanded us to grow. It's not an option. God has told us very clearly, when you become a Christian, that is not the end point. We have a tendency, and we need to be careful, even when we share the gospel with somebody and they receive Christ, we think, wow, they're saved. They're now on their way to heaven. That's not the ending. Now, that's the most fantastic thing that'll ever happen in their life. Don't get me wrong. But that's not the ending. That's just the beginning. As I was a new Christian for 2 years, I did nothing with my faith. I got saved and my eternity was changed, but I skirted all the rest of it. And it took me 2 years. I'm a little dense. It took me 2 years to figure out that's not where God wanted me to stay. God had something better for me on this life. And I started growing in my faith. The command to grow is the key to everything he's saying here. If you look at verse 1, he's telling you some things that you are to stop doing. And by the way, we don't like that, but that's reality. Scripture teaches us things that we should not be doing. And if we're going to, you know how you say, by the way, I'd sit in church. And I came right out of the world, and I'd hear the pastor preach, and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. That's in the Bible? And it's like, yeah, it's in the Bible. And I realized there were some things in my life that needed to go. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It only happened as I grew. I was really ignorant. I'd go home, and I was reading my Bible, and I was really into it. And then I listened to my music. And it was just straight-out rock music. And that's what I liked. That's what I grew up with. That was who I was. And I'd be reading my Bible and I'd listen to my music. It didn't take very long before I'm like, these two things are not compatible. Pastor didn't get up and preach a message like, you know, your music is of the devil and it's killing you. I figured it out on my own. I'm listening to one thing and I'm reading something else and I'm like, okay, oil and water, these things don't mix. And so I made a decision. Now, it's easier nowadays when you make a decision, you delete all your music. Yeah. You know how I deleted my music? I got all of my albums, and I had hundreds of them. I had my collection, I had my older sister's collection, and I had to throw them away in the garbage can. It would have been a lot easier just to delete them, right? But you know what? I realized that that was not compatible with what I was doing, and something had to go. By the way, that might be a good place for some of us to start. It's kind of hard to praise Jesus when you're listening to music that's telling you to do other things that aren't pleasing to Jesus. That's a message for another day. But I would not have done that if I was not growing. As I grew in my faith, I realized, hey, there's some things. And then in verse 3, he talks about, hey, the goodness of the Lord, that the Lord is gracious. You know, we only realize how good God is as we grow in our faith. Isn't that the truth? I mean, we grow in our faith and all the things we take for granted, and we realize God's good. But we need to grow. It's a command. Understand this. Without growing, we will have a wrong view of the things that are wrong, and we'll also have a wrong view of the things that are right. You know, if someone wants to live right and do right, they're degraded in our society. And you watch all kinds of things, and you're listening to all kinds of things that glorify evil and glorify that which is wrong. It's because we're not growing in our faith. So we don't see things. God commands us to grow. We'll never get around. It's not an option. Well, you know, look, when you look at your Bible in the morning, don't see it as an option. See it as an obligation. Don't see it as a choice I can make. See it as something I'm commanded to do. We got to get past that. You know, if we're the type of person that gets up on Sundays and like, do I feel like going to church today? We're not catching it. See, I got over that a long time ago. I realized that God wants me to be in church, and so I made the first spiritual commitment I ever made. First one was this. I'm going to every church service. I was clueless about the faith. When I got right with God, I'd only been to church maybe 5 or 6 times in my life. And I'm like, I can come to church. And from there, I started learning a bunch of other things. But I see it as an obligation. Understand this. If we're not growing as a Christian, that's not natural. It's not healthy. It's not excusable. And here's how we have to see it. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. It's not right. That's how we have to see it. Secondly, turn over to Hebrews. I want us to see not just the command of our growth. I want you to see the continuance of growth. The continuance. In the verses we read in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, he says this, "For when the time you ought to be teachers..." In other words, they were old enough spiritually speaking, from a spiritual age point, how long they've known the Lord. He says, for the time when that they really should know enough and have grown enough to be able to teach others who are new in the faith. He goes, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not strong meat." What he's saying there is, look, you're old enough in the faith, you've been saved long enough, you ought to be able to take what you've learned and teach others. He goes, but really, you still need to be taught. Now, none of us ever get past the point where we don't need to be taught. But what he's saying is, you still need to be taught the basics. You still need to be taught the bottom line things. How many of you would like to have a teenager and you have to teach him how to eat? You know, you feed the little kids and they get the spoon and sometimes they get it there and half of it's on their chin. You know what I'm talking about. That's cute when they're a year and a half old. It is not cute when they're 16. It's irritating. And I know some 16-year-olds, they probably do need to learn how to eat. But he's saying, you have to go back to the basics. You don't potty train a 20-year-old. Spiritually speaking, you may. But it's like, no, that's not how it works. He says you ought to be teaching others, but you still need milk. Milk means the basics of the Christianity, the new things as you're growing forward from the time you're saved. Verse 13, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." They should have been eating real food. One of the things that's encouraging when you grow as an individual, you get to eat real food. You don't give steak to a baby, they'll choke on it. Right? And that's for us, because we've grown to the point where we get the good stuff. But most of us are, spiritually speaking, we're eating baby food. As we grow, we can understand the deeper doctrines we need to know and the deeper commitments we need to make that Scripture teaches us about. To boil it down, Hebrews is getting on them because they were older in the faith than they acted. Look, the longer you're in the faith, the closer to God you should be. The older you are in the faith, the more committed to God that you should be. Their spiritual age was greater than their spiritual actions. Right? You ever get on your kids and they get older? And we've all done it. You know, that's immature. What was that all about? Years ago, one of our kids, I won't mention his name, but it was Jack. They were doing their work scholarship after school, and they thought it would be a funny idea to smash Josiah in the face with shaving cream, which is fine if your eyes are closed. And Josiah came in and was totally clueless. His eyes were wide open, and Jack just, you know. And Josiah's eyes were bad. I had to take him to the optometrist. And I'm like, Jack, what are you doing? Now, Jack figured it out because I had access, even as a high schooler, to his bank account. So I'm like, that's $75. It's coming out of your bank account. You're paying for it, not me. It's like, what are you doing? You're acting like a two-year-old. Now, I get it. It's kids being kids. But spiritually speaking, a lot of us, we're acting like a spiritual two-year-old sometimes. And God says, you shouldn't be there. You ought to be older in your actions, in your faith. So the continuance. Once we start, we got to stay on that road. And then turn to 1 Corinthians. I want us to see the conflict of growth. The conflict. Here's what we all face, and here's what can creep into our life and keep us from growing if we're not careful. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 1. Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, and by the way, if you know the Corinthian church, they had a lot of issues. They were really messed up. There was a lot of drama and sinfulness going on in the church, and so God used that to Paul to write to them to try to sort that all out and get them on the right path. He says this, he goes, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Again, he goes, I should be speaking to you, excuse me, as a spiritual individual. But I have to speak from you from the standpoint of a babe in Christ. And he uses the word carnal. And I'll explain that in a minute. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Same thing he said in Hebrews. For hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither are ye now are ye able. He says, I can't even give you a deeper things of the Word of God, the more committed things of the Word of God, because you choke on it. And then he says, verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, and are ye not carnal and walk as men? As we mentioned, the problem with the church of Corinth is they lived in a very corrupt city. And that's not a problem. That happens. We can't control what's going on outside of the walls of the church. But the problem with them is they had let the corruption of the city creep into the church. The church was no different than the society in which they lived. By the way, let me say this. Church should be different. I hope you expect when you come to church to hear something spiritual. I hope you expect to see something different in here than what's going on out there. And sadly, a lot of churches, what they've tried to do is say, we'll reach more people if we bring what's out there into here. Then why go to church? Years ago, I saw a story, one of the reporters at ABC, and he went to this church where they had watered everything down, and a big church, I won't mention who it is, and he afterwards, they were interviewing him, and they said, what'd you think about the church service? He goes, it didn't seem like it was church at all. And the guy said, that's what we were going for. That's not what we're going for. Even as an unspiritual teenager, the few times I went to church, I expected it to be like church. But that's what happened. They brought all of that into the church. And Paul is addressing that here. And their problem was the carnality. In other words, look, I always say this, don't get upset when those who don't know Christ live like those who don't know Christ. And they believe like those who don't know Christ. But it ought not to be with Christians. And so that's how we are when we got saved. When I came into the church and I wanted to get right with God, I had a lot of philosophies I had learned from my time out in the world, and that had to all be changed. And as I grew, I didn't want to believe those things. I had a lot of actions in my life that had to be dealt with. And so as I went out, I stopped doing those actions. There was just things, and my family started to notice it. But what happened is these people, even though they were saved, because he does call them brethren, they weren't living like it. They were holding on to that carnality, the things that were part of their life before they knew Christ. By the way, that's a battle we all fight, isn't it? The things that come at us that are godless and they're not of God and our society throws at us, we got to fight it. Because if we don't fight it, it stunts our growth. It stops us. Here's a battle we all face. So here's the question for us. Will we be more influenced by the non-Christian aspects of our society or by Scripture? Yeah. Do you know the majority of Christians have the same worldview? In other words, they look at the world the same way those who don't know Jesus Christ know. And I ain't going to give you all the statistics. I've read them. The divorce rate among Christians is right there with non-Christians. Yeah. The belief structure of things which are wicked and sinful, the percentages are right there. You know why? Because we're allowing the world to influence us more than Scripture. We're allowing what we hear in society to influence us more than what we read or hear in Scripture. If you want to have your thought process right, immerse yourself in the Word of God, and that'll just come right to where it needs to be. A majority of Christians know more facts about their hobbies and their other interests than they knew the truths of the Bible. By the way, some people are like, you know, the Bible's just a hard book. I can't learn those things. I remember a couple years ago, I was buying a Christmas gift for Gary, and this was hard. I was buying him a San Francisco 49ers hat. I'd rather buy him like a six pack. I just don't get it. But anyhow, so I got him. I found him a nice hat, and I'm standing in line, you know. And the guy, hey, you're a 49ers fan. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm a Christian. He didn't quite get that, but I didn't say that. I said, no. I'm sanctified. I like the Rams. And so, which are nothing more than oversized goats, apparently. And then this guy just started talking to me about his team. I think it was Minnesota Vikings. And he was telling me he knew everything. You know, this guy's throwing for this. And I'm like, you know what? People know what they're interested in. Some of you like your football team, and that's fine as long as it's not the Raiders. Okay, go get your new tattoo. But you know everything about that because that's what you're interested in. Do you know you could transfer that to Scripture? You can know what the Bible's talking about if we really desired it. Let's just be honest. A majority of Christians are discipled more by what they see on television, CNN, MSNBC, and all of them than they are by the Bible. You hear some stupid philosophy. It's not stupid. I shouldn't say that. Seriously ignorant philosophy espoused by our world. It's like, that just sounds good. It's not scriptural. Oh, that didn't go over well. I'll talk to the baptistry. Doesn't talk back. It's not scriptural. I don't care how it sounds. I can't listen to what's going on and say, that sounds cute. I got to stick with truth. Now, let's look at the last thing and we'll be done. Let's tie these together, okay? So we know that God wants us to grow. We looked at all of that. But let's look at the last thing. What is the real cause of growth? What is the key ingredient all of us need if we're really going to take this thing seriously and grow? Look at 1 Peter 2:2. That's the key verse we're using. As newborn babes, what's the next word? Desire. That's it. That's the key. You have to desire to grow. No one can force you. You only grow in your faith as you desire to grow in your faith. Now, how does that help us? Well, We have to have a desire to feed. He said in 1 Peter, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. See, you have to want to grow. You have to want to feed. You ever hear someone say, well, it hasn't happened in years, but many years ago, I'm not being fed at church. That's your fault, not mine. By the way, you're supposed to feed yourself. We could have the best buffet. Look, let's just talk about food for a minute. I felt something, right? Yeah, okay. Let's talk about, if you came here on Sunday and we just say, hey, we're going to feed you every Sunday, we'd probably double the crowd. But we fed you. And then the next time you ate is the next time you came to church. That's not my fault. By the way, you could stuff your gills, kind of like you did on Christmas Day and Thanksgiving, to where you're in a comatose, right? But you guess what? The next day, you're probably going to be hungry. And if you're not, the next day, for sure, you're going to be hungry. You're not, can I just say, you're not going to get by what you're getting here. You have to desire to feed yourself. You go home and no one's home, and they're not going to be home, and it's dinner time. I don't care if you know how to cook or not. You'll figure something out. You know, peanut butter and a quesadilla. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. You'll, like, throw something together. When we were kids, we used to eat, it's disgusting now, fried bologna. By the way, Pastor Esposito got me on that. He got a piece of bologna. We would put a cheese on it. We'd throw it on the flame. I remember we do that all the time when we were kids. I remember years ago, not probably 7, 8 years ago, we actually had bologna in our house. We usually don't have them. I'm like, I remember fried bologna. I'm going to try it. It was disgusting. I realized why I quit eating it as a kid. But you know what? I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to eat. Listen, you have to have a desire to feed. You have to eat. You need to have a desire, as we look at Hebrews, to facilitate. Go back to Hebrews. Here's a verse I want you to see, the last verse, which we didn't look at. In other words, we got to take what we're eating and make it a part of our lives. In Hebrews 5:14, here was their problem why they weren't growing. He said, strong meat, because he says, you still need milk. You ought to be having meat. He goes, strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. They're mature. How do you become mature? Even those who by reason of use have their senses desired to discern both good and evil. You know how you grow? You use what you're learning and you make it a part of your life now. You grow by obedience. How in the world are we going to learn something new when we're not obeying what we've already learned? That's how you become mature. You take what God is giving you, you make it a part of your life, you make it who you are, and now you'll get more. But until you do that, you're not getting anything else. Obedience is the thing that helps us to grow. We learn in order to live, not some cute little outline. Well, give me some, you know, little cute thing I can write down. Okay, write it down. But if you don't live it, it's worthless. We meditate, we think about what's in the scripture so we can incorporate it into our lives. And then there needs to be a desire to fight. As we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 3, it says, for ye are yet carnal. You got to fight that. Everywhere you go, there's going to be things that come into your life, desires, the Bible calls them lusts, to do things that are detrimental to your faith. You got to fight it. By the way, every man's tempted. James tells us that when he's drawn of his own lust and enticed. You got to fight that. Look, Satan's real. Our society is against everything that God stands for, and it's getting worse. It's not getting better. And then we have the flesh, ourselves. You don't naturally want to do the right thing. If someone's mean to you, you don't naturally think a soft answer turneth away wrath. You think a slap upside the head will straighten them out. But you can't do that. You have to fight it. But instead, we're carnal. We live for that which is temporary. We're living by our instincts. We're living by our lusts. We're living the old life. We can't have victory. We can't grow without a struggle. Now let me ask you this, and we'll be done. What are you doing this year? What will you do this year to grow? You say, I have a desire to grow. Let's not make this like a New Year's resolution. Here's a New Year's resolution. I want to be a better whatever. You name it. Fill in the blank. I want to be a better spouse. I want to be a better parent. I want to be a better employee. That's cute and it's worthless. What are you going to do to become a better employee? See, Pastor used to always say it, if it's not specific, it's not dynamic. It's not happening. Well, I want to be healthier. Okay. We all think we all need that, but it's not going to happen at the Wiener Schnitzel. And definitely it's not going to happen at that place with those goofy arches. So why don't you incorporate some disciplines that'll help you to grow? How's your daily Bible reading and prayer? I want to be a better Christian. If you don't read your Bible, it ain't happening. Hate to tell you that. How's your church attendance? So I'm here this morning. Good, I noticed that. Thank you. But how is it overall? If I guarantee you this, God commands us to be in church together, and if you're hit and miss in church, you're going to be hit and miss as a Christian. Maybe you've been coming here. Help yourself. Become a member. You need to have a church that you plant roots in. Invite others, all the different things. The point is, what are you going to do to grow? We can throw the theme out, and it's cute, and you get the pin, and all the it's all cutie, and you can put it on your refrigerator and walk by it every day for 365 days. But what are you going to do to grow? First question you need to ask, do you really want to become a better Christian? Do you really want to be closer to God? And then what are you going to do that? It boils down to the actions. You've got to fight that which is wrong, and you've got to incorporate that which is right. Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute, if we may, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. It's a simple theme, but that's okay. I like simple things. That's why we have Simple Give. But sometimes we stumble over simplicity. We do. The things that are the easiest, the things that are just common sense, we don't do them. We can talk about Christianity. We can talk about growth. We can talk about getting closer to Christ. But do we really want to? Because whenever we start to do something God wants us to do, there's opposition. It's not easy. I'm sorry. It's wonderful, don't get me wrong. But you got to make decisions. What is it in your life that was lacking last year spiritually? You say, you know, Pastor Myers, maybe I had a good year. I grew in my faith. Hey, don't stop now. I've been at this a long time. And you know what? I need to grow this year. I need to stay faithful to the things I know I need to do. Let's grow in our faith. It starts with you. You can't be forced upon you. Maybe you're here this morning, and I'll be honest with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never accepted Him as your Savior, you're not a babe in Christ, you can't even go forward, you need to come to the starting point. You need to be born. We used to call it being born again. It's trusting Christ. Here's the question. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have some doubt? With nobody looking around, maybe you say, you know, Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. I do have some doubt, but I'd like to take care of that. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. Pastor, would you pray for me? Just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Anybody like that? Yes, I see your hand. Okay, see those hands. Put them down. Thank you. Let's stand together. The piano's going to play. If God spoke to you about anything, why don't you use this altar? You know why we have the altars? We make decisions. We take what we say we want to do, and we take that desire, and we confirm it in our life, and we make a commitment to it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us. It all starts right there. And I pray, Father, this year, as we have
more of an emphasis on growing in our faith, becoming more mature as a Christian. I pray that you would help us to have the desire to do so and make the commitments and the decisions and follow through on the plans that it takes to get there. May it start with Scripture. Help us, Father, to draw closer to you each and every day. Bless us now until we meet back together again tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.